MX Network production.
It's the Renthal Reaction Show for breaking moto news, hot topics, and moto by the minute.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Renthal Reaction Podcast, MXGP opener. Lots to get into when it comes to Argentina and the opening round of MXGP and the reactions from that, especially. Thank you to the folks at Renthal for coming on board this show. When you look at Renthal, you look at the bars and the sprockets that Honda, Kawasaki, KTM are using. The 661 bar Eli Tomac has chose to use this year is sold out, but get your name on the list to get it in when the back orders are done. And, yeah, thank you to Renthal.com. All new casual wear as well at Renthal, hoodies and shirts and things like that. And then, of course, if you're a mountain bike guy like myself, they have clipless pedals for downhill and cross-country. This is a new product from Renthal, same great quality that Renthal is known for. They look really cool. So if you're a mountain bike guy, clipless pedals, then Renthal.com's got you covered, and a direct-to-consumer site as well. Free shipping, everything over $99. Parabino said we might have a code, so stay tuned for that. No promises, but I think he's working on that. Renthal Reaction, MXGP opener. There's no better man to talk to when it comes to the opener in Argentina than he covered the series for a long, long time. From Vital MX, it's Lewis Phillips. What's up, Big Lou?
Not a lot, just, you know, riding the wave of MXGP.
Listen, it's legitimately, it's a really cool and interesting season for many, many reasons. Our buddy Dan really is going to knock it out of the park this year. MX2, not so much. We'll cover that. But MXGP coming in, I mean, yeah, it's incredible. And I guess the first reaction is, even you, Hurling's guy, Hurling's fan, with all the rumblings preseason, all the things that we heard, saw, there's no way you thought he'd go 1-1 at the opener. I don't think anybody saw this. That's the number one reaction, Lou.
Yeah, well, I had him fourth when I did my top five predictions because typically he doesn't start incredibly strong. Like, he's not really a round one kind of guy for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And then adapting to a new bike, new gear, all of that stuff, I presumed it would be a solid but not spectacular, maybe, start, but it was the complete opposite. It was spectacular. Very.
Yeah, very. Like, really, really good job. I don't know if anybody saw that coming. And, man, if he is on point and, of course, stays injury-free, this is not a good sign for the rest of the class.
Yeah, well, I just did my MXGP podcast with Adam, and I said this to him, because he was he was somewhat anti-Hurling's title contention.
Sounds like I like where Adam's coming from, yeah.
And I said to him, like, is this not a reminder that we all should have known if Hurling's is healthy, he's the best guy? That's kind of been true for 99% of the last decade. So perhaps we should have been smarter than this and being like, yep, he's healthy, so here we go. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm trying to figure out now in the wake of, honestly, a complete beatdown on everyone.
You know, I went back and looked at his last year, obviously injured again, but I went back and looked at his results at the end of the year when he came back, and honestly, they were better than I thought. I thought he came back and was, you know, battling up front and was a, you know, was a top guy, but he did better last year than I thought he did when I just kind of like, just if you would just ask me, like, how did Jeffrey Hurling's come back last season? And I'm like, oh, wait. On the KTM, he was actually pretty good. So then you go moving into this year, yeah.
He came back at round four, and you are right. Like, it took him a little while to get back on the podium, longer than I think most would have expected.
Yeah.
And then he broke his collarbone mid-season.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, he came back from that broken collarbone, and in the last five rounds, he was completely dominant. So that gave me some confidence coming into 2026 that, like, he raced Fit Kunin, who was kind of the new shiny toy that everyone wanted to theorize could potentially just destroy everyone. And he handled that challenge. Of course, that was on a KTM, so it kind of renders it irrelevant to a degree. But the signs from the end of last season certainly point to this.
But from things we hear behind the scenes with the bike and the gear, it hasn't been the smoothest offseason, even though he's been healthy. It hasn't been the smoothest offseason. You would, like you said, you would expect him to sort of ease into this thing. You had him for fourth. And, like, he was clearly the best guy. Vial won the qualifying race, and we'll get to him. But he ripped through the pack, man. He passed these guys yesterday, or Sunday.
Yeah, he kind of did both versions of it, because hole-shotting the first moto from 12th pick is so unlike Herlings and a massive statement to everyone. If I'm trying to race him for this title, that's kind of the biggest thing playing on my mind, leaving Argentina, because he doesn't do that. Just even if he's on pole position, he doesn't hole-shot.
Yeah.
So the fact he can do that now is telling. And then, yeah, he was quite a way down. I want to say 6-7 seconds from Fevre. And on one lap, I think he was 2 seconds quicker. On another lap, he was 3 seconds quicker. And, yeah, I don't think anyone really expected that either. Now, no. Roman did have roll-off issues, but he was out front, so I'm kind of like, I don't know if you can blame that on roll-off issues too much.
Kunin, I saw a quote from Kunin saying he was riding with one eye. What was the story behind this? He was sort of underwhelming. What have you dug into as far as issues with let's say, the championship favorite, Kunin?
Yeah, this is still confusing, because he said on Saturday night that his eyes started getting really bad, and they tried to clean it up or whatever, but it just got progressively worse.
Like,
but
he threw his goggles in qualifying, or what?
Well, the way he said it after the race was as if, like, this came from nowhere, because he didn't say, oh, I got hit by a rock, or I got hit by dirt. So for the life of me, I can't figure out if something caused this, or it was just like a generic medical condition that came at the worst possible time.
Yeah, okay.
It's really weird. Like, no one seems to know, which is a bit bizarre. But to be honest,
cataracts? Glaucoma?
It would be great to have a return of glaucoma. We had great success with that first time around on Pulp. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird, but the Kunins do kind of keep a bit of a tight circle, I would say. Not completely weird, but he was flat. And to be honest, this issue started on Saturday night. I would argue that he was okay, somewhat underwhelming versus the extremely high expectations on Saturday anyway.
Yeah. Bigger surprise, Jeffrey 1-1, or Tom Vielle's third overall on the box in Moto 1, his qualifying win. Bigger surprise.
Oh, it's got to be Vielle, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And not even just because of the results. I think the way that he got them, like, you kind of look at the results and you're like, they should have been better, because he was almost better than those results maybe indicate, especially the second moto. He was leading when he stalled it. A little bit of an electrical problem caused that, and actually reared its head in the qualifying race with Jeffrey as well. So not all smooth sailing at Honda HRC, but, you know, pretty good. They were top of every single session across the weekend between Vial and Hurling. So, dream start. But
an old Ruben. Ruben put it in there for sixth overall. Yeah.
Yeah, poor Ruben. No one's going to remember Ruben exists. No. And I just said to Adam, actually, last year at round one, we didn't have Hurlings and Vial, which would have put Ruben fourth. And actually, it really was a solid, good opener for Ruben. But,
yeah, we're going to go that way. And Fevre 3-2 on the day, solid and expected and fine. We're fine, right?
Yeah, better than I thought, to be honest.
Yeah.
Again, not so much looking at the results, but more the riding and the attitude, the aggression. I don't know. He seems more ready, perhaps, than I expected. Like, I'll be honest, and I just said it to Adam as well. After the weekend, like, I've slotted Fevre above Tim in my title favourite ranking, whatever you want to call that. Like, he kind of opened my eyes a little bit.
Hey, by the way, before we get too far into this, Argentina is an old country to visit, but a new track, and watching the qualifying race, looking at the highlights, I kind of liked it. Did you get a sense from your texts and communication with riders that they liked it?
Yeah, I haven't heard a bad word.
Right.
Some said the roughest track they've ever ridden.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it did. Well, if you look, for whatever reason, I guess because the soil's dark, it's quite hard to see. But if you actually go back and watch the highlights now with that knowledge and look closely, it's very chattery everywhere. Like those, I don't know, it's hard to say because I don't even know what the term would be. Those sort of hard pack bumps where it's a little bit loose on top and, you know, like it, not so much like massive bumps,
like,
but it's just chattery.
Like Lakewood.
Yeah, maybe.
Lakewood.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Like, for instance, that roller out of turn one, on top of that, it's so chattery, and you can't really see it until you kind of get your eye drawn towards it.
Right.
But I've never seen that stereotypical MXGP roller look like that. So I think they were struggling with it on Saturday because it was fast and it wasn't rough, because normally MXGP, of course, relies on the EMX classes to make the track rougher, and we didn't have support classes in Argentina.
Yep.
So it didn't develop quick enough. They left it rough Saturday night. They watered the shit out of it, and maybe it ended up going further than they even expected by the end of the day.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Renthal Reaction, Renthal.com, Lewis Phillips from Vital MX on the line. Tim was fine. Tim was fine. I don't see any issues with Tim's, you know?
Yeah, I don't see any issues, but I also don't see any, like, exciting points.
Well, he didn't have any, like Tim, although, like, he's changed his MO a little bit, I feel like. He was blinding speed with some crashes, right? And he won a bunch of titles that way. And he could always be the fastest guy in the class when Jeffrey's not there. I felt like last year Tim kept it more in control, like, got a little older and didn't want to hit the ground anymore.
I wouldn't say last year, but I would say that was definitely true in 2024.
Okay.
And that is the genesis of Honda letting him go.
Yeah, you had said that, right?
Yeah.
So I felt like we didn't see any flash with the Yamaha. We saw steady times. He was good in qualifying, good in the qualifying race, good in practice, but then never, like, elite. Steady.
Yeah, second moto was a highlight because he moved forwards to third, which is obviously good.
Yep.
He did have that crash in the qualifying race, which he was beat up from. So that, naturally, I think you have to add that when you're talking about him, because he wasn't 100%. I think he was pretty close to it, but he wasn't 100%. So, yeah. You know what? This may be the best way to put it. It's almost a bit of a Fevre-esque performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, off the back of the top guys, but really good, but missing something in comparison to, in this case, Vial, Fevre, and Herlings.
Yeah, we'll get it back. We'll get it back.
Yeah, well, Blue Crew.
Yeah. No, we're fine. No problems. Yeah, I think it was, I think like Fevre, Fevre was better, but like Fevre, it was fine. Just nothing to see and nothing, but no panic button needed.
No, definitely not.
Right. Speaking of panic buttons, Jeremy Sewer, Ducati.
Yeah, I really wish I wasn't friends with Jeremy in moments like this, because
not good.
People are looking to me for answers.
Yeah,
and I'd really like to be able to say I haven't spoken to him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, he hasn't been stoked on the bike, but I mean, he did get on the box early last year.
The same rings true. The bike is better on hard pack, and this wasn't hard pack,
right?
So there is that.
But this was a bad Jeremy Sewer should be 8 to 10.
Well, yeah, but to be honest with you, I looked at this because I was thinking the same last night. Last year, he was in the top 10 overall at only 7 GPs out of 20.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised as well.
I thought it would be more than that. I know he had.
And he was in the top 5. He was in the top 5 twice.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man.
I mean, you got to look at what Vlaanderen is at on the same bike and be like, you should be there.
I think that, I do think, though, the Ducati is a handful. And I think that is true. Like, you rode it, Keith has ridden it. That is kind of the consistent feedback, right? It's a little bit of a beast to get on top of. Fair?
I wouldn't even count myself. Like, I'm not a rider.
Okay. Well, don't put yourself down. That's not what this podcast is for. But I think he's a short guy, so I think in these moments, him not having the leverage over it does maybe magnify the issues more so.
Okay.
I don't know, once it gets to hard pack, it'll be better.
Can we finish around Calvin? I think that's a fair ask.
Yes, I would agree that is a fair ask. Right. I feel really bad for Jeremy, because we all know how good he is, and this isn't it.
Renault, I was higher on Renault just because I'm just hanging on to his debut year a little bit, but there's been a lot of injuries. He said he's happy with the bike and he's good with the team, right? We know that he tried to get out of that deal, but you said everything was good, and then his performance was sort of meh.
I actually thought his performance was better than that.
Really?
I don't know. It wasn't great. But this is where I've gotten myself in trouble, because I think a lot of people like you still hold Renault to the top level expectation.
I would think so. I've seen Des Nations rides, right? I've seen MXGP rides, right?
I've moved off of that a little bit now. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I look at it and I'm like, you know what? There was podium speed there somewhat. The tough thing is as well with this class, it's so deep that I think there's a lot of riders where their result doesn't show how well they rode.
It is pretty deep.
Like, I could go through and tell you, like, Adamo was 8th, I think. He was great. Jonas was 10th. He was great. You know, there's a lot of greats.
Yeah, shout out Paul's first moto.
Yeah, and he went down in the second turn of Moto 2.
I read that. He said that. So I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, because before the restart, he went down in the restart of Moto 2. Before the restart, he was 3rd or 4th.
Yeah, the big man.
So, like, he could have been 3rd overall.
The big man cost him.
Yep, and then the big man crashed on top of him after the red flag. So.
Listen,
adding insult to injury.
Ferrato, I got to put Ferrato in the huge surprise category. Moving forward in Moto 2, a year off the bike. He's got to get used to this Fantic. Like, yeah, I'm guessing he was the buzz of the paddock.
Yeah, well, he was the buzz of the paddock, for sure. He ran over a start gate.
Well, for his riding, though, not for that.
I'd imagine he'll be the buzz of the next riders meeting as well, if they try to explain the procedure and what the 15-second board means, etc.
What was he doing?
I don't know.
Yeah. That wasn't a great look.
He's quite literally throwing his weight around.
It's not a great look.
No, especially, you know, the Axo gear, the Cuball helmet, and then we're going through the gate. It's
Renthal Reaction, MXGP opener with Lewis Phillips from Vital MX. And please listen to Lewis's podcast he does with Adam Wheeler. They do it after every GP, and it's a really great podcast. And these guys know way more about MXGP than I do. They're much more on top of it. So please check that out if you can. Okay, what's the surprise of MXGP class that we have not touched on? And I mean any position.
Well, it's tough because, honestly, nothing really stands out from this result sheet to me. Viao, obviously. Jonas, we talked about that.
What about Horgmo? I don't know. Is Horgmo still privateering it?
He's on a satellite team.
Yeah, but just full, like, not great?
Yeah.
Right.
But he was sick, so he was really sick. He's been sick for weeks, actually, so I don't know what's going on there. That doesn't sound great. Honestly, this is a really lame answer, but the surprise to me is we're in Argentina, and Sua is 17th, and Ferrato is 18th. So we're missing DeWolf.
We only have 20 riders, really. 20, let's call them real racers.
But my point is, we're missing DeWolf. We're missing Gifting. Mm-hmm. And then now the series goes back to Europe. So you add Ben Watson, you add Adam Sterry, you add Mo Steik, you add Ludwig. You add all of these guys. And then Gertz was DNF as well. So you add him back in. Scoring points is going to be seriously tough here coming up. Like, there will be riders in 25th who expect to be close to the top 10. I genuinely believe that.
Did Ben have any comments on Gertz's race?
No, but I did.
Okay. All right, Gertz crashed out
in Moto 1. He was wearing the Alpine Stars airbag.
Okay.
And if there's ever a ride, Jordan Smith and Gertz.
Yeah.
Those are your poster children. But honestly, just to say my piece quickly, before the crash, he kind of took a little bit of a big dip from even where he was on Yamaha, which wasn't great. So the justice for Ben Watson discussions are already starting. It's already fired up. So that's exciting.
It's funny because we talked about Sandtrack with Herlings, right? And I was like saying, like, look, he you know, this is a Sandtrack for Herlings. That's why he won, kind of just trying to rationalize it in my brain. And you're like, yeah, this isn't, you know, a European Sandtrack, i.e. Lomel. That's a Sandtrack. In America, Argentina would be considered a Sandtrack. So there are
I would say
levels.
This was Lomel. It's a Lomel, yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, if Jeffrey, this isn't a Sandtrack, Jeffrey's this good, just wait, right? All right.
Yeah. Well, and my biggest point on that is, as I said on Pulp last night, clearly the starts are way better on a Honda. He said that. And from what I hear, he's much happier with this bike on half pack as well. So if those were his two weaknesses, if you even want to call them that, when we get to a place like St. John, he should be much more competitive from the off. And that, I mean, ultimately, he just needs to stay healthy, doesn't he? But other than that,
yeah,
he's looking good.
Yeah, you tell him I said good job, good race.
You've come up quite a lot actually.
Okay.
You haven't. Yeah.
Renthal.com. Hey, MX2, bigger surprise, Sasha 2 DNF with a crash, or the champ going 1-1, bigger surprise?
Tough question. despite
did
the
you
track
see
record,
Sasha's crash? Did you see it?
No. Somehow, I guess no one's like 100% the MXGP drone has it. 100%.
Okay.
But I guess no one's seen the footage.
I just want to know if it was a big one or you never quite know.
From what I was told, Lata crashed in front of him he landed on his bike.
Okay.
Or something like that. Landed into his bike. That was the version I got.
So maybe we can cut him some slack a little bit. Unfortunate circumstances. No?
We can, but I don't. There were some sketchy moments in our first moto.
Langenfelder did what he wanted to do, go 1-1. And then triumph, dude. Triumph.
Yeah, I'm honestly quite impressed.
Yeah, for sure.
Fares is known for being like, and I think even going back to his American days, he's known for being quite fast but sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
Yeah, I agree.
So I was surprised, but like, I don't feel like he set the world on fire. I honestly think he was kind of anonymous, but he was really good and solid, which is even more encouraging to me, because I don't think that's really what Fares does. On the other end of the spectrum, McClellan went after the moto win in the second moto and really kind of made his presence known.
Yeah.
But
do you think either one of these are going to step up ahead of the Everetts, ahead of the Kunin?
No.
Okay. This is a race dependent good start. You know.
Yeah. I mean, they can maybe get on the back of that group.
Yeah.
But certainly not.
Right.
Ahead of it.
You have been very pessimistic about MX2 coming into this year. Did this opener change your mind at all about, ooh, this is going to be interesting?
I mean, I maybe cared more than I
okay.
imagined,
okay.
but no, like Langenfelder is just going to walk this. I really think so. I mean, Kunin can clearly run with him, but Kunin already has a DNF on the board.
Yeah, right. And there'll be more coming, probably.
Yes.
And
Langenfelder, I mean, last year Langenfelder was in the top six at every GP.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like Kunin's chances of matching that.
No, absolutely not.
I don't know. I mean, the Resulis brothers made it exciting. Yanis in his MX2, full-time MX2 debut was really good. So, like, I'm quite invested in seeing where he goes from here
mm-hmm.
and how good he can be. But I think that will still take some time.
Yeah. One good thing, though, the designation's the Destinations team is going to be strong.
Oh yeah, if Pools can like maintain for a few more years,
uh-huh.
and then the brothers can get even better.
Yep,
Latvia podium is really realistic, I think.
Oh, can you imagine Pauls after all those years of just banging his head against the wall on Latvia? You know,
I like Latvia. Good people from Latvia. Good place.
Listen, that Riga, that was an underrated MXDN. Underrated.
Yeah, we need to get back there.
So maybe the Valin hype from MXDN, what the Americans saw, and you were very pessimistic is not a right word because it's not like you want the kid to fail or anything, but you were a little bit hold on
realist.
Here. Yeah, realist. Yeah, that's it. You're a Valin realist.
Yes.
with you and Paul, the realist
yes.
people. Maybe you were rewarded a little bit.
Yeah,
it's
and the same thing.
Race.
Like,
it's just one race, but yeah.
In my so everyone's been saying Valin's going to win the title or be a contender. That's in all the preseason talk. And in my preview show, I picked him as my disappointment because I was like, there's no way he meets these really high expectations that everyone has. And yeah, in that fashion, I do feel like I've been proven right. Now, I think he wins multiple GPs this year. Like, for sure he gets two,
okay. yep.
three, maybe. But I don't think it's anything that's so sustainable that
mm-hmm.
Langenfelder has to keep an eye on the cowie, you know?
Yeah, really, right? Shout out Scott Smulders, who has the name of that. He could just be from Florida, from Tampa. Scott Smulders. Never heard of him before, but he's from Netherlands. So
glad we're covering that.
Yeah, I just think that's awesome. I saw the I'm scrolling the results, saw the name. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, oh, Netherlands. I'm like, oh, this guy. I thought this was like an American guy. Scott Smulders is just a Florida name. It's a Florida name.
What about Ben Garion? Didn't he ride for Guam at the Nations? Did I make that up?
I don't remember.
I feel like I've seen that name at the Nations, and I feel like it was a Guam guy.
Okay. Renthal Reaction, renthal.com. New casual wear, 661 bar. Get it ordered. Eli Tomac, my friend, who's on Twitter today as we do this. Please check out renthal.com for more information on that. Sprockets, of course, mountain bike parts as well. They have a new consumer website and direct to the source. The first products that launch will be on renthal.com, so you'll have early access to that stuff. Please check it out, renthal.com. Reaction to Argentina opener. All right, so yeah, Hurlings, we are back. Love to see it. Vial's impressive.
Yes. Honestly, I think we haven't done enough, like, not on the show, I mean, just in general. I think that the whole Tomac and Hurlings both moving teams at a later age than most and winning their respective first rounds, like, I think the parallels there need to kind of be dived into a little bit more. I don't know. I think that's quite a cool coincidence that both of these stories are playing out at the same time.
Yeah. Also, I have tried to get some info. I don't know about you, but I've tried to use deep, deep sources on the new bike, the new Honda. It's all new. They debuted it last year. I've tried to get, like, hey, what was the goal of this thing? What's it do really well? Like, what do you like about it? And, dude, I'm not getting anything. But is there a chance that this bike is technologically, like, a better motorcycle? Like, and it's helping. You know what I mean? Like, you look at Vial, you look at Hurlings. This thing is all new. They're not sharing any parts, this 2027 CRF. And, yeah, maybe there's again, my sources, my deep, deep sources aren't giving me anything. But I think we got to think, Lou, like, how much of this is new bike related? How did Honda hit a home run here?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to go against that, when Fernandez debuted it last year, they did have some problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not all been amazing. But from what I hear, the electronics on it are really advanced. And I think it is quite a step into the future, especially maybe from where Hurlings was at KTM.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know, maybe. I mean, I know, so I don't, you said this on Pulp and you said this at the start of the show. I don't know. You keep saying the rumblings about Hurlings in the off season. I don't know what you heard, but I never heard these rumblings.
Yeah, rumblings.
So I think where you got these rumblings from, this is the only thing I can imagine,
is the
current bike, the current Honda, he didn't like as much as the prototype. So maybe the feedback you heard was based on the current gen.
Why would they ever have him ride that current gen bike?
I don't know.
Like, why would they ever, like, if he's not racing it, like, they would put him on the new bike right away.
I don't know. I bet if he wanted to race it, he could have.
Is it possible that I just dreamed up the rumblings in hopes of my hopes getting up that he struggled, maybe?
Yes. Just like you dream up the rumblings of Eli deleting his Twitter account.
What?
I was joking.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he can't tweet you anymore?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
get it?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. But,
cool.
But the problem is people are going to think that I really said that or dreamt it. Okay.
Well, I mean, if you want to dream about Eli deleting his Twitter account, I don't think that's bad.
Listen, back to the Honda, though. Yes, you look at Vial's and Jeffrey's performances, and yes, I think this is worth a closer look. I have tried to get a closer look, and I cannot.
Okay, so I'll do that. I've got a mission for you, Blue Crew man.
Yeah.
Because I don't really... I need to figure this out. Renault, as you said, tried to get out of his Yamaha deal at the end of last year.
No, as you said.
No, I mean, as you said on this show.
Yeah, but you said it first.
No, that's public knowledge.
Yeah,
he said that publicly. All right. He was so desperate to get out of his Yamaha deal, they ultimately kept him under lock, whatever else.
Okay.
He has now said they finally gave him a part or something on the bike that he was asking for last year that he couldn't get, and that's made him so much happier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As the Yamaha man, let's figure out what this part was.
All right, okay. I will reach out to some deep sources.
Yeah, because you've probably got a better shot at that than me.
Yeah, really, right? All right, well, listen, Renthal Reaction, first round, Argentina. And again, check out Lewis's podcast with Adam Wheeler where they go a little bit more into depth in this.
Yeah, people say it's better than LVK.
I mean, I don't know if that's possible. Because after Pulp and the review show and the re-raceables and the FXR one-on-one, then it's LVK. So I don't know, how that's possible.
Yeah, but people say it. I mean, and also, people, if you hate me, which is a lot of you out there, Adam Wheeler's amazing. He really balances out how bad I am.
He's a true classy gentleman in the highest terms.
Yeah, he was like, on the podcast, he's like insulting in front, and it somehow sounds like a compliment, and I don't really know how, but a true journalist.
So congratulations on Jeffrey, condolences on Jeremy. I think that's where we're at.
Yep, and get excited for Ben Watson's season debut.
Yeah, Ben Watson's season debut, and good job, Pauls, a friend of the Pulp Show. Yeah, so when's the next one?
Birmingham weekend, so weekend off, and then
okay, yep,
and to in Spain, New York.
Why did our friend Dan do that? We're all home. The whole American industry is home this weekend, and Dan couldn't schedule a MXGP. I guess the
honestly, I'm actually really pissed off about that.
Yeah,
because I mean, if it's on this weekend, I'm going. JC's going. Like, yeah. There's a lot of people who can be tempted to go. Yeah. Paul's probably going. Like,
yeah.
Sad. Come on, Dan.
Yeah, come on. Renthal.com, please check it out. Lewis Phillips, thank you for the time, buddy. Appreciate it. Any plans for the off weekend?
Well, it's the first round of the British Championships,
mm-hmm.
and Conrad Muse versus Ben Watson should be spicy.
Okay.
So I'll be watching that.
I would think Ben has it covered. No?
I think, yeah, but like Ben hasn't raced in Britain in a long time.
Yep.
And I think Ben is faster, but Conrad maybe is better at sprint speed early on, so I think it's going to be quite a big game of cat and mouse.
Whatever track it's on, Conrad will know a little better. Oh, Talkstone,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so
all right.
It's live streamed on YouTube, I'm actually quite excited for that, to be honest.
Well, nice. Enjoy that. Enjoy the off weekend of that. I will not be watching the British Championships.
I think you could be tempted.
On my weekend off, but go Ben Watson, for sure. Good dude. All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. And I can hear the champagne popping from here for the 84. So it's
good. Yeah, I'm already on it.
Really happy for all of you people.
Thank you. It means a lot coming from you.
Redball.com reaction. Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks. See you.